This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Many ethnic traditions have their own musical styles and dances, but the polka is one that's shared by many groups, or maybe claimed by many groups, is closer to the truth.
Joining us now to talk about polka's place in the Midwest is Rick Marsh, a folklorist and musician. Rick has participated in the Midwest polka scene for more than three decades. He's the author of Polka Heartland, Why the Midwest Loves to Polka. Rick, thanks for coming back again.
Yeah, thanks for asking me in.
Well, we just heard an excerpt there of Frankie Yankovic playing the Pennsylvania Polka, which is a well-known tune, especially for people who have seen the movie Groundhog Day. But let's start with the basics here. What makes a polka a polka?
Well, a polka is a dance in 2/4 time that has a particular lilt that's good for dancing the polka to. A polka is a polka. It's just another polka.
And is there always an accordion involved in this?
The accordion is quite prominent, but there are many styles of polka bands that do not include accordion or any kind of a squeeze box.
Now, I associate polka with the Polish side of my family. I know it's not exclusively or even necessarily originally Polish. Can you talk about the ethnic makeup of the polka world?
Well, what I pointed out in the Polka Heartland book, it's possible to do historical research using the new databases that enables you to find stuff that it would have taken years to track down in archives before. So I was able to find, for example, the earliest mentions in the London and New York newspapers of when polka dances were, staged and advertised. And it was in the 1840s. And actually, the polka was a pop culture craze. Mm-hmm. It was not any particular ethnic group's dance. There's a mythology in the polka world that gets amplified by the internet now that, oh yes, a certain Czech servant girl on a certain day in the 1830s invented the dance, and her boss saw her doing it and wrote it down. I don't know what kind of dance notation he knew, but he wrote it down, and then once it was written down, then it spread all over the place. But in any case, it was really mainstream culture initially in the United States in the 1840s through the 1860s. During the Civil War, there was rail splitter polka dedicated to Abe Lincoln, and the Confederates had, secession polka and things of that nature. And as in all pop culture crazes, as it started to die down by the 1870s, that also happened to be the time that there was massive immigration from Central and Eastern Europe, and the polka was popular in their home countries. So the people, continued to think of it as part of their community's ethnic culture, and it has remained so now 170 years. It's kind of amazing. I don't know how many dances, can say that they've been around. Maybe the waltz is the only one that's around longer.
Now, you said that the popularity kind of ebbs and flows. You mentioned a couple of high points there. So tell us a little bit about what those moments were like when polka was the thing to do, when it was a craze.
The second polka craze came about exactly 100 years after the first one, right after World War II, and that's when Frankie Yankovic launched his career. He, had a million seller with Just Because, and it was a situation where, in the immediate post-war years, there was kind of an exhilaration. It fit into the national mood. The big rock and roll craze hadn't hit yet, so there was about a decade where they didn't have competition from rock and roll. And, it was the thing to do.
One of the favorite things I learned in your book was, I think it was in the initial 1840s craze, there was an anti-polka reaction, people saying this is immoral. This is a craze that's sweeping and degrading the people.
Yeah. Well, the similar reaction there was also to rock and roll and so forth. And it was kind of the lambada of its day. It was, the waltz had actually had shock value initially because it wasn't like a minuet or a quadrille where you were just touching your pinkies, but actually there was a man and woman with, you know, arms around each other. And when the waltz began to lose its shock value after a couple of decades, then along came the polka, which they're still, you know, dancing in a couple like that, but now frenetically hopping up and down instead of gliding smoothly in the waltz. So yeah, it was Queen Victoria forbade that the polka be danced in her presence.
We're talking with Rick March right now. He's a folklorist and musician, and he's got a new book out. It's called Polka Heartland, Why the Midwest Loves to Polka. So let's zoom in on the Midwest here. Why is polka such a hot topic here in the Midwest, and especially Wisconsin? Why is Wisconsin a hot spot for the polka?
Yeah, Wisconsin's right in the middle of polka territory, and we have a lot of bands in this state, and we have a wide variety of styles. I put out a couple of CDs for Smithsonian Folkways, one called Deep Polka and the other one Deeper Polka, and they featured seven different ethnic styles, all from Wisconsin on Deep Polka, that didn't exhaust them. So basically, I think it's because in the Midwest, ethnicity has remained a part of our consciousness. Even if you're mixed, you know, you said the Polish side of my family, you know, I'm mixed too, but, you know, I will think about, oh yeah, the Croatian side of my family. So there are things that people do. There are foods they eat. There's even, you know, card games you play. You play sheep's head maybe if you're German-American, you know, but if you instead you play euchre if you're Scandinavian. You know, there's things, you know, ethnicity plays a big part in life. And also there's just a, you know, unlike the bi-coastal zones, the Midwest culture isn't like we have to be cutting edge. You know, we can, you know, stick with heritage. We can have a polka, a dance that has, you know, some longevity at a wedding, because maybe it'll lend longevity to that marriage. You know, who knows? So the Midwest has, because of the ethnic connections and because of just kind of a sense of heritage being strong in the region. Those are the main reasons.
Well, the UW Marching Band, Tuba Heavy, institutionalized the polka. Let's give a listen. So you hear this at every UW Anything game, pretty much. Featured, I didn't know this, on a Budweiser commercial back in the 70s, the UW Marching Band?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Isn't that something? I don't know. Anheuser-Busch got the Badger Band away from the Milwaukee, brewing companies. Who knows? I don't know exactly how that commercial came about, but certainly they continue to play that as the Bud song. And, you know, there's the fifth quarter. Well, actually, the tuba circle the field playing Roll Out the Barrel in, I don't know, is it the third quarter maybe? And people try to polka a little bit between the benches, during the fifth quarter.
Not enough room there.
No. So the cheerleaders are doing it down on the field. Yeah, I think the thing about it is whether you're into polka particularly or not, it's one of the symbols of, you know, us. You know, we do it. You know, it's just, yeah, it reminds me of my dad or my grandpa. You know, it's you may not dance it for years, but then you go to that wedding, and even if it's a modern wedding with a DJ, you know, he's got that polka record to put on at a certain point, you know, during the wedding dance. And it's remained a part of the tradition, and I just felt it was long overdue for there to be a book that was addressed to the general public that took a broad general approach to polka.
Now, Rick, you said that the polka is intergenerational, and yet I think a lot of us associate the polka with sort of an older generation, maybe a slightly different time of life. So are there younger people who are keeping on with this polka tradition and keeping it alive?
Yeah, there are great photographs, especially the ones from Pulaski Polka days, of the younger dancers and musicians in the book. Not every polka scene is thriving. You know, some scenes are dying out. You just see a lot of gray hair on the floor. But other scenes are thriving. And it always has been music of immigrant and ethnic communities. And, we mustn't overlook that now Latinos are the major immigrant group that enjoys polka. Mexico had the polka come in from Europe, much as it came into the United States in the 19th century. And, you know, you hear that that pickup truck with the Virgin of Guadalupe on the rear windshield blasting their sound system going bop, bop, bop. That's a polka. So we did have some pictures from a Mexican dance. The Polish scene is very strong. In some communities, it will die down. It'll never die out. There seems to be, even in the scenes where everybody's got gray hair on the floor, there are younger people who are taking up playing the music.
And I want to, you've got your accordion, and to give you a chance to pick that up, I want to listen briefly to one of those younger bands, the Brave Combo, with the classic Who Stole the Kishka?
Let's polka!
Rick, that was a listen there to a younger polka band, and now we're going to hear the real thing live in studio. What are you going to take us out with here?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Let's see. How about a little bit of the Barbara Polka on my button box accordion?
All right.
Keep going, Rick. That's Rick March, folklorist and musician. He's the author of the new book, Polka Heartland, Why the Midwest Loves to Polka. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.
Great to have you here.